So as you guys know, we have been talking about the prayer of examine. We've spent a lot of weeks on it. If you haven't been around, the prayer of examine is a very ancient prayer. It's been around for 500 years. It's been prayed for many, many, many centuries, and it is really a very simple prayer, but there are so many complex layers to it, and it is really wonderful. So listen back to the podcast. I think we're like three weeks into this short series for Lent on the prayer of examine. The book that we have been using is called Sleeping with Bread. It's a short little book. I lent my copy out last week. If you want to borrow the book, it's really great. It's a simple format and very easy to, but it's really great in describing kind of the layers and the complexities of the prayer of examine. So we named the series Know Me, Search Me, Love Me. We haven't used those words as much as I wish, but I really love that because the prayer gets to the heart of like, Lord, I really want you to know me. I really want you to know my heart. I really want to know you, Lord. So what we're going to talk about this week, last week Jeff spoke about the prayer of examine as a tool for discernment and decision making. This week I want to talk about the prayer of examine as a tool to grow in thankfulness and gratitude. Next week Jeff's going to talk about the prayer of examine as a tool to be free from resentments and judgments and learn how to be a less bitter and angry and horrible person. So it's going to be great. Show up for that. We all need it, right? So so the prayer of examine, I think if I had to kind of like put it into words, there's so much about it. It's like I said, it's extremely simple. For those of you who haven't been here, it's basically two questions. It's, what am I the most thankful for today? I'm going to go hour by hour over my day. What am I the most grateful for? And then I'm going to go hour by hour. What am I the least grateful for? What hurt today? What didn't feel right today? What bothered me today? Where do I need the Lord today? And it's just incredible. I think the main gift of the prayer examine is allowing us to slow down before the Lord. Just slow down and take a deep breath. We need it, don't we? We need to slow down in the presence of the Lord. So today we're going to talk about gratitude. And we talk about gratitude a lot in the church, don't we? Just a few weeks ago, when I think, how long ago was it, Carl? 6 weeks ago that you got ordained? And Carl talked about thankfulness. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever. Remember the talk? So because thankfulness is extremely important to God, it's throughout the entire Word of God that we are meant to be a thankful people. So who here needle points? Anybody? No? Of all our crafters? Not a one? Okay, I was going to be like, oh, you know, our grandmas used to needle point, but I mean, all the old crafts are coming back. Like, Kathleen's an amazing knitter. Anyway, needlepoint. Okay, so this is something our grandmothers would have needlepointed, okay? If you've forgotten the language of gratitude, you'll never be on speaking terms with happiness. Huh? How's that? Let me say it one more time. If you've forgotten the language of gratitude, you'll never be on speaking terms with happiness. Rachel, I love your laugh. It's kind of true, right? Gratitude is the key to being filled with the joy of the Lord. So that's what I want to talk about today. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit, thank you so much, Lord. I thank you and I praise you for every heartbeat in this room, Lord. What a good God you are. How much you love us, Lord. I pray, even for those who are listening to this on podcast in future, I pray, Lord, for every person hearing these words, Lord, that your love would permeate through the hardness of our hearts. And Lord, we need you. We need your grace. I pray, Lord, that you would teach us what it means to live in you and to walk with your Spirit. Amen. So it's such a funny thing to preach. You know, the weeks that I've known that I need to preach on gratitude, it's extremely convicting because I'm like, oh, I'm supposed to be a thankful person because I have to talk about this. Ouch. So it is extremely convicting whenever you have to get up and act like you're good at something. No, I don't. You don't actually have to do that. The preacher should not fake holiness. That's not true. No, but it is. It's just very convicting because I've been thinking about it nonstop. So I'm trying to read the Bible in a year and a half. So January, I expired my year. And so I'm trying to read the whole Bible by June. Okay, so I've got like 5 more books and I think I'm going to make it. But Colossians was on the list. And I randomly kind of went, okay, well, that's on my list. I'm going to check it off. That's a quickie there. So I read Colossians, and it is an extremely thankful book because, of course, that was what was on my mind. So I'm using Colossians today. Open with me, if you have your Bibles, Colossians 3. So Colossians is a letter from Paul, as many of you know. He was in prison in Rome while he wrote this book. And what I think is really cool about Colossians is he was writing to people he's never met before. And I just love that. He wrote this book and he's gushing with love and thanksgiving for these people that he has never met before. So this week, if you have time, it only takes about probably 20 minutes or depending on your, I'm a slow reader, so it doesn't take long. It's a short book. So read Colossians this week. It's absolutely wonderful. So Colossians 3, 15 through 17. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Thank you, Lord. So we see Paul living a life. Everything you do, do it with thanksgiving. Everything you do, do it with thanksgiving. He's like, hey, if you live in Christ, everything you do is thanksgiving. So my first point, living in Christ. Our hope is in him. So Paul says, let this peace from God's love permeate into your entire life. Let the peace that Christ brings be totally what you are rooted in, living in Christ. Let it be everything we are. I often say, and I believe it with my whole heart, that Jesus is the best life we've got. Living in him, it is the best thing we've got. And at the end of the day, it's all we've got. So it's a good thing that he's good, and it's a good thing that it is good. Our worth cannot be rooted in what others think of us, what others do. I love this aspect of Paul's spirituality. He was a guy who was so successful. He had everything. Everyone loved the guy. He was a rabbi. He was highly successful. He even led his own murderous cult. So he had a lot going for him, you know? The guy did. But then he gave it all up for the sake of Christ. And he's like, I don't have anything. I know what it means to be successful. I know what it means for everybody to be happy with me. I know he probably had wealth. He probably had a family who loved him. He probably had the setup. He lost it all for the sake of Christ and he gained everything. Identity in Christ creates a space where we can be thankful. Where God is actually enough for us. And I wish, you know, as I was writing this, I just wish that I would have known that in a deeper sense when I was younger. I kept thinking about that song. I wish that I know what I knew now when I was young. I don't know who does that song, but I love it. I wish I knew that when I was younger in a deeper sense that Christ is all. If we don't have anything else, we have more than what we need. Because Christ is enough. Jesus is enough. So secondly, acknowledge God's hand in all that is good. So we see Paul saying, in everything that you do, acknowledge that it's God's, right? Everything that we have is from him. There's a great, I don't know that I wrote it in my notes, but in Romans, there is a most wonderful passage. Romans 11. Will you put that up, Jen? Did I get that one in my slides? Oh, I'm sorry. So Romans 11 says, for from him and through him and for him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. For from him and through him and for him are all things. The Lord, oh, there it is. There it is. Thank you, Paul, again. Acknowledging that God's hand is in all that is good. So that is the originator of all that is good in our life is the Lord. The originator of all that is good in our life is the Lord. James 1 says, every gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. So I want to talk a little bit about entitlement. I think that the opposite of gratitude probably is entitlement. And I don't think that we're all, you know, just entitled, terrible, horrible human beings. But I do think that entitlement is something that is so easy for us to live in and we don't even realize it. I think that, you know, I have all these things and I kind of think I deserve them. It's such an easy place for us to go. And, you know, unfortunately, being a pastor means that, I guess fortunately and unfortunately. Fortunately, we get to have amazing insight into precious people that we love. We get to be so close to people. It's a gift to be a pastor, okay? I don't mean this in a negative sense. And if I did anything else, if I went back to work, because I'm a nurse, if I went back to work, I would probably be a hospice nurse, because pastoring and hospice nursing, they're essentially the same skill set, I think, in a lot of ways. You know, you need to bring all of who you are when you pastor to a person, because you're there in the depths of people's despair oftentimes as a pastor. And I see that as a gift. You're also there when people's lives are doing really well and they're filled with joy, but you're also there when their lives are hard. And so one thing that Jeff and I have very sadly had to observe is just people's lives falling apart. We're there. We're often there when people's lives fall apart. And that has meant that we have seen more than we would really like people leaving their marriages and having affairs. I wish it wasn't true. I wish we didn't see it, but we do. And the thing that Jeff and I often observe is a person who is getting ready to have an affair or leave their spouse or be discontent within their own life and so then leave is often entitlement. That's often what the core is. It's often, I deserve more than this person is able to give me. I deserve more than this person is able to give me. It's the classic, like, it's my spouse's fault that my life is where I'm at. And Jeff and I have had to observe it over and over again, that resentment, and it just begins with entitlement. And then resentment is allowed to grow, and then people leave their marriages. It's a tragedy. And thankfulness is the polar opposite of entitlement. Having a grateful heart is the polar opposite. It's saying, Lord, everything, acknowledging that God's hand is in all that is good in my life. The very air I breathe, it's a gift from the Lord. I don't deserve this. He is good to me. And I don't want to say that we don't deserve it, like, that can be weirdly construed theologically. I think we deserve God's love because God created us out of his very heart. We are so loved. And so I think that whole thing, like, I don't deserve anything from God, can be confusing. We are entitled to all the love of God's heart. Amen? Amen to that. But what he wants for us is he wants to give us shalom. He wants so much more than what we think we deserve or would be happy with. I mean, it's just interesting. Sometimes when you look at the material world that we live in, people truly believe that material goods will make them happy. I mean, can you imagine like thinking that a Rolex or a Cadillac will make you happy? It's when you start thinking about it, it's so absurd to think that a thing could make you happy. It's absurd. There's so much absurdity to it. And my husband and I are kind of into the minimalists. Jeff is more than me. But, you know, if you watch that documentary, it's so interesting. We really do buy the lie that things of this world will make us happy. And they just can't. They just can't. So let's take a minute and think about the things. Acknowledge God's hand and all that is good, okay? I want you guys to think for a minute about the health that God has given to your bodies. I know not all of us are perfectly healthy. But just imagine for a minute that, I mean, as a nurse, I studied abnormal, you know, like what can go wrong in the body. It's insane. If you start reading about disease processes, it's very frightening. You're like, I think I have that. Oh gosh, and I have that too, and I have that for sure. I mean, it's terrifying how wrong the body can go. But here we are, we're healthy. Thank you, Lord, that we have our health. Think about the people in your life. Think about the friendships that you have. Just take a quick minute and think, all these people who love me, I know that if I needed something, I could call on this person who loves me so much. They know me. They really know me, and they really, really love me and accept me. Think about the things that you've been given, the things you're good at, the musicians in the room, the crafters in the room. Don't be all, you know, quiet. You're in here. I know you are. I'm not one of them. Crafters, you can make amazing things. You can make quilts. You can needlepoint. I know you can. The amazing things that we can do. The science brains in this room. How wonderful the talents are that the Lord gives to us. Guitar players, come on. Drummers, painters, artists of all sorts. Our children. Think about the kids that the Lord has given to us. Those of you who are married, think about your spouse. Think about that person you get to partner with for life. I know they're a pain in the neck, that's obvious, but they're also wonderful. They are wonderful. They're a gift from the Lord. Think about, for a minute, the gift of Christ. Think about the fact that we've been given Jesus. That our God, that the God of the universe, the very mighty God who is seated on the throne, chose in his love to become human, dwell among us, live for us the perfect life, sacrifice his very self for us. He reached his arms around you and he put his arm around you. Imagine that Jesus did that for you. Imagine that Jesus came and revealed himself to you. What a blessing. Sometimes I just think that there are people in the world who don't know Jesus' love and I can't bear it. We just can't bear the thought of someone not knowing love. Jesus Christ came to this world. As we acknowledge God's hand in all that we have, guys, all that we have, it does so many good things for us. We become more grateful. We see that all is God's. He has generously given us everything. He has generously given us everything. Stewarding all that he has given to us is our job on this planet. Stewarding our lives, stewarding our the property maybe that he's given to us, the children he's given to us, the spouse, the friends, the roommate, the teachers, the boss, the, you know, stewarding all the relationships, stewarding all the goodness, stewarding all the love that he's deposited in us. It allows us to be generous towards others. Everything that the Lord has given to us is meant to be given. Moving on. Number three, we are commanded to be grateful by Paul. Three times commanded. I mean, I didn't do the whole thing where I look in the Bible about how many times the Word of God says to be thankful, but it's a lot. It's a ton. It's like a lot and stuff. So three times, though, in Colossians, Paul says, be thankful, be thankful. Let your thankfulness be like the air you breathe. Let it be something that you are. Let it permeate everything you do. Let it be who you are. God wants us to be grateful because he loves us. Imagine that. So we have to practice giving thanks, you know? I think about when John decided he wanted to play piano, he didn't just all of a sudden go, oh, I'm going to play piano tomorrow. It's going to be my new thing. He spent hours. The man was obsessed. And this was a very short time ago. Now he knows how to play piano. But he was practicing night and day. I was a witness to it. He was there practicing all the time. And anytime he's near a piano, he's now just tinking on it all the time. So you have to practice. If we want to be like John McCollum, we have to practice. And be amazingly talented. That's part of it too. But we have to practice giving thanks. In order to be thankful, we have to practice giving thanks. It's the way it works. It's the way everything works. It's the, you know, that's the way the world is. Being thankful allows us to be more present to our lives. And thankfulness can work to bring us to a place of contentment. As I've been thinking about thankfulness, I've just been thinking about when I was a really young mom. And I, you know, I'm tempted almost to go back to that time and kind of beat myself up because I just, it was a hard time. It's a lonely moment in life sometimes when you're at home raising your kids. I didn't work outside of the home, and I'm grateful for that. I wouldn't have it any other way, but it was, there are downsides, you know, to staying at home with your kids. It's lonely. And I was really young. And all my friends were, like, doing things like going to college and stuff. And so it was hard for me a little bit. But I, in a way, I wish I could have lived in more thankfulness. But what we have today is the gift of today. And going forward and learning how to be thankful in the space that we're at today. But thankfulness can bring us to a place of contentment. And I do remember thinking that. I thought, gosh, Lord, I want contentment. Here I am at home raising my kids. It's tough. I'm lonely. I feel isolated. I know you're here with me, Lord. Help me be thankful. Help me not rush through these years. I think all of us have probably areas of our lives where we would say, I wish I would have been more present. Wish I would have been more content. Wish I would have been more thankful. But we have the gift of today. We have the gift of today. So I think sometimes with thankfulness, there's a temptation to think that being thankful is almost like, it's like wishful thinking. Or it's like denial. It's like, oh, I'm just going to think about good things. I'm just going to will good things into existence. And I'm going to pretend like negativity just isn't even there. And that is not what thankfulness is. Not by a long shot. Thankfulness, I think, can come alongside pain. And if you're truly being grateful, you have to acknowledge that life is not always perfect. There are painful things in our life, and they're real. So I'm not at all suggesting a form of wishful thinking or denying away our pain. Not by a long shot. But thankfulness is a deliberate choice to focus on what is good and what is true. So Philippians 4:8 says, finally, my brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And science is behind this idea. Science is behind the idea. I always love it when, like, you know, science catches up to God's good ideas. And they have these, you know, studies that, gosh, being thankful is really good for you. Forgiving is really good for you. Here's the science behind it. Hugging is really good for you. There's science. I'm telling you. So negative attitudes, they are very, very bad for us. I have a theory that the older we get, the more negative we become naturally. I don't know whether that's true or not. I can't find any research to back that up. I've been looking. But I know that negativity is bad for our health. It is bad for our brains. It is bad for those around you. It's bad for you because you are precious in God's sight. Gratitude will make you healthy. So here's back to the prayer of examine, okay? The prayer of examine is all about slowing, right? How many of you guys have checked in on the app? Ooh, Kathleen, I need my phone because I got a quote I have to read. How many of you guys have opened the app? Come on, I want to see a show of hands. Anybody got the app? The gratitude is an attitude app? Okay, thank you, sweetie. So the prayer of examine is all about slowing down. So if you haven't downloaded the app, I would love for you to. It's called Reimagining the Examine. It's really wonderful to stop in the middle of your day and do an examine. It can take about 3 minutes or so. Reimagining the Examine, it is a free app. Jen, there's a photo of it from 2 weeks ago if you want to try and find it, but no pressure if you can't find it. It's True Confessions time, Central Vineyard. I know you guys would never think about me this way, but I have a really bad temper. So I struggle with losing my cool a lot. Jeff, you are a blessing. Jeff has seen me at my ugliest moments in life, and he still likes me. It's incredible. So gratitude is a practice. And silence and solitude as a practice have helped me, guys, with my temper. Slowing down, silence and solitude. They change your brain. They do something. And I should also apologize to Kathleen publicly, too, because she's actually inherited my temper, worst of all. So, sorry, I hate to call you out like that, but, you know. I mean, we do, you know. Who doesn't have a little bit of a temper? Does everybody have a temper, or is it just, Brian's like, never. Yeah, a temper. I mean, it's not right. It's anger, right? The anger of man does not bring about, the anger of woman does not bring about the righteousness of God. So it's something that I really want to change in my life. It's something that I want to change in my life. Slowing down allows us to respond instead of just reacting out of our flesh, out of the places in our life that aren't healed yet. So silence and solitude allow us to slow. We're so hurried. And I will tell you honestly, guys, I am an adrenaline junkie, and I don't know if it's like just this culture, you know, I project onto you guys all the time. You know, I presume that you're all exactly like me. So I'm sorry for that. I know you're not all like me, but I think our culture in general, we are rushed. We are constantly striving, right? The things that the world expects us to be good at, they're just too many things. There's just too many things. We can't all be, good at everything. We're just hurried as a culture. Slowing down, silence, solitude, giving time and space for the Holy Spirit to change the neuro pathways of our brains. It's really good stuff for us. So this is something that I am trying to allow God into in this area of my life. Slowing me down. healing the things that are in my life that aren't of him. This is what it looks like. This is the normal Christian life, slowing down and allowing God into those places. So silence and solitude are something I'm trying to submit to. So just to finish up here, the very fact that we're allowed to say thank you to the Lord is a gift, right? The very fact that we are able to say thank you to the Lord is a gift. So let's quiet again and just thank the Lord for a couple things. This is why I needed my phone. I had to put this in here. It's really awkward. Beth, I'm so glad you're in the room. A huge part of just love is gratitude, right? And I'm a huge Jane Austen fan. And because of the fact that I have the mic, I can do what I want with it. So I just love this, that in Pride and Prejudice, Jane Austen was a single woman, y'all. Brilliant woman. One of my favorite authors in the whole universe. And in Pride and Prejudice, Elizabeth Bennet recognizes that gratitude is a huge part of love. She says, above all, this is Elizabeth Bennet talking about Darcy. And if you haven't read this book, get with the program. It's called Pride and Prejudice. So Elizabeth Bennet says, but above all, above respect and esteem, there was a motive within her of goodwill, which could not be overlooked. It was gratitude. Gratitude, not merely for having once loved her, she's talking about Darcy, but for loving her still well enough to forgive her all the petulance and acrimony of her manner in rejecting him and all the unjust accusations accompanying her rejection. I remember reading that years ago. I read Pride and Prejudice again every couple years, and I thought, oh, Jane Austen gets that gratitude is a big part of love. It's so cool. That didn't really fit in my talk, but I had to say it. So gratitude is a big part of love. And it doesn't matter if you're married or not. Gratitude is a big part of loving the people that are in your life. You look around and you go, you know, I am grateful for this person. Maybe they're hard for me to live with. Maybe they have really challenged me in some ways that I find tough, but I'm so grateful for them. Because look at all that the Lord's done in my life through this. Look at all that the Lord's brought in my experience through this precious person. Even if it's a difficult relationship. And that's a desolation that can be a consolation. So St. Ignatius taught desolations and consolations. The desolations are the things that are tough. The consolations are the things that feel like a gift. Even desolations can be a gift when we bring them to the Lord. So let's quiet our hearts again. I want you guys to think. I'm just going to name some things I'm thankful for. I'm thankful so much for hugs from my husband. And I just want you guys to think about the people who hug you. Think about the people who can put their arms around you and support you and say, I love you and I see that things are hard right now. And I'm here for you. Think about those people who just see you and really accept you. Lord, we just thank you. We thank you, Lord, for those people. A spouse who believes in me. Lord, thank you for every person here who's married. Thank you, Lord, for every person who isn't married. Thank you, Lord, for every middle schooler, high schooler. Thank you, Lord, for the people who support us. Thank you for the person in my life, Lord, who just believes in me. Whether you're single, married, young, or old, married, divorced, thank you, Lord, for giving me people who believe in me. Thank you, Lord, for music. Thank you, Lord, for the gift that is music, that we can connect with God through music. Thank you, Lord, for the sunshine. Thank you, Lord, for nature and for birds that fly and deer and squirrels in the tree. Lord, thank you so much for our dogs and cats. Thank you so much, Lord, for our beautiful homes that you've provided for us. Thank you, Lord, for water. Thank you, Lord, for the gift of clean water. Thank you, Lord, for the church. Thank you, Lord, that you have created Central Vineyard. Thank you, Lord, that out of your heart, you are the pastor of this church, Jesus Christ, and we thank you for this place, Lord. Thank you, God, for the gift of Jesus. Thank you, God, for the miracle of faith. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. So I just want to challenge you guys on one thing before I end. This week, Jeff and I, like, we're kind of into minimalism. It's kind of a cool thing, you know, in our life and stuff. So I'm just teasing. I'm making fun of myself. So we have been trying to clean out the mess of our basement for over a year. We've been digging out, like literally, we can now walk through the basement. It's like, woohoo! So anyway, last week we finally got down to like letters and photographs. And this is like, oh, I do not want to look through these things. So we were looking through letters, and it's very embarrassing. There were a ton from Chelsea and I that where we're writing back and forth to each other. It's like, burn those. But anyway, I found, burn them. No, God was with us. It's all good. I found this stack of letters from an old pastor of mine. His name is John Orr. It's when I lived in North Carolina. He was my youth pastor. And this just triggered in me that I'm going to write a letter to him this week and just thank him for everything that he did for me. I have got like 10 letters from him. He's telling me how much he loves me. He's telling me what the gifts that he sees from the Lord in me. This is a man that just blessed me so much. I think he's still in North Carolina. I don't know his address or anything, but I'm going to find this guy. I want you guys to think about one person who's blessed your life when you were young. Or maybe, you know, middle schoolers, it's one teacher, or it could be a parent, it could be a sibling. High schoolers, somebody who's invested in you, someone who just loves you. Could be a teacher, could be just a good friend. Think about that person. Write that person a letter this week. I'm going to do that. And I'm not going to check up on you. But write that person a letter. You know, and thanksgiving and thankfulness, it does something good for us, you guys. God asks us to be thankful because he loves us so much and he wants us to have a good life. And God is really hard at work restoring humanity unto himself. You know, our humanity was ripped away when Adam and Eve gave over the keys of this planet to the enemy. And Jesus Christ and his good kingdom is being fought back for. We've got to work towards the kingdom. God is working hard to restore humanity. We get to participate in this. And I know I sound like a broken record. The only reason, this is not true, not the only reason, a very big reason why God wants us to be formed into the image of Jesus Christ is for the sake of the world. It's for the mission. Formation is for mission. We become like Christ because Jesus loves the world so much, and he wants to use all of us. It's absolutely awesome. So why don't you guys stand? People who love to pray for others, would you guys come forward? And band peeps. As I was praying for the service today, I felt like the Lord wanted to call forward people who struggle with chronic illness. So I'm going to ask just maybe some people to, prayer people, just let's pray for healing this morning. Let's pray for healing this morning. The thing about praying and asking God for something is sometimes it doesn't happen, and so it can be really painful and vulnerable. But I will tell you that God is good, and I know that there won't be healing if we don't ask. So I want to encourage you, if you're here, if you struggle with something that's a chronic illness, step out in faith and say, yeah, Lord, will you heal me? And prayer people, just lay your hands on people and say, God, we ask for full and complete healing. So let's do that this morning. And if anything, if you need prayer for anything, it is not magic when you come up and get prayer. That's not why we do this. The reason we ask people to pray and we say, come forward, because it's an act of faith. It's an act of faith. Lord, we trust our lives to you, God. We trust our lives to you, God. Apart from you, Lord, there's no good thing. So if you need prayer for anything this morning, guys, please come forward. And if you have chronic pain, come forward. You're going to get prayer, and God is good. God bless you.